as we have been looking at our mountains during this Lenten season, one of the things that I think is very strong in this message are the kingdom of God. Now, so many times in each one of these sessions, we've heard about Jesus being anointed to be prophet, priest, and king, and that he brought to bring us the kingdom of God. One of the other weeks had this: as a member of his kingdom, a blood-bought child of the king, the whole ordering of my life should be service in that kingdom. I want to do everything that I can to help others come into the kingdom. And anything that might be a hindrance to that end, such as poverty, I need to try and help alleviate. Because the kingdom of Christ is a kingdom of love, then I must put my whole self and all that I have at service. All right, so where does that notion of the kingdom of God come from? Well, imagine that you're enslaved. Imagine you're a captive. You know, imagine that everything you strive to do in your life is in someone else's service and is done to make someone else better, not you. Everything that you have built or done goes to someone else. All the food that is given to you to eat comes from someone else. All the clothes you wear come to you from someone else. Because what they're trying to do is maintain your strength so that you can work for them. You're not working for yourself. Imagine that everything you do in your life with your spouse and your children belongs to somebody else. It doesn't belong to you. Your wife and children belong to somebody else. They don't belong to you. They're their property. And they can be taken away at the whim of anybody. In fact, not only can they be taken away, but they can be killed at the whim of whoever owns you. You know, so when you're enslaved or a captive, it's horrible. Now, imagine comes a deliverer. And this deliverer announces to you a greater power than the one that holds you captive. All right, this makes you free, and it makes you a people of your own possession, not just the possession of someone else. So that deliverer wants you to live free. Be free, have fellowship with him, be with him, take that daily walk with him. He has chosen you for this since before the foundation of the world. And one of the things that is so important, he does this because he wants you to realize that he might be your God. He wants to be your God. He wants you to be his possession, and he wants to lavish you with all the love and riches of his kingdom. Well, of course, you know what we're talking about there is Exodus. And what it is when Moses comes and talks to Pharaoh about letting my people go from bondage and captivity. We have that whole discourse in the Bible about how many times that Moses asked Pharaoh to let my people go. Because the people of Israel were God's people. And he was the one that identified them to be free. All right, when we have the day of Passover, we are looking at probably one of the most extreme examples of freedom that there is. Well, why? Because their belief in the Lord kept them safe from that angel of death. Now, I find it very interesting that here we're equating freedom with that. But yet, isn't that the blessing of that day? Because their freedom of being God's people and the freedom of having God in their lives kept them safe that day. I think that's very important. Now, think about this. When, in the New Testament, we are also confronted with that merciful Christ, aren't we free in him even if we're slaves? One of the things that I learned when I was at the seminary is the fact that Christianity is not a religion of the upper crust. It's a religion of the slaves. It's a slave's religion. And when we look at the word doulos, which is that word I've talked about in here many times, the word for servant is also the word for slave. So in that mindset, you know, when we're a servant, we're also a slave. But in this case, we're a slave to Jesus and we're a slave to God. And so in that case, a slave, a negative connotation. I don't think so. It's actually a blessing. Well, when we see Jesus at his baptism, and he goes and faces that 40 days in the wilderness, and after that, he comes back to them in his human flesh, and he wants to free them from the captivity of sin. Isn't that the same type of thing that happened to Moses when he went to Midian and then came back? So not only do we have the example of Jesus in the Bible about that, but we have the example of Moses in the Bible doing the same thing. And so any time that we're going to be doing something good, we have to face difficulties. And that's true. How many times in here have I preached on the fact that we don't learn from what we do well, we learn from our mistakes? So if you want to grow as a Christian, don't you have to try new things and sometimes fail? You know, that's what's really important. But yet, when we go back and look what happened when Moses went up on Mount Sinai, and he was gone that entire time. He came back, and Aaron had built that golden calf, and the people were praying to it. And Moses got so upset with the people, in fact, to the point that he called for a lot of them to be killed. Talk about a horrible experience. But those people had forgotten that their freedom came with a price, and that the price was to follow God. To follow the person that had kept them safe. So they took a detour from their faith. But yet Jesus will not be detoured, will he? Okay? And I think that's the difference between our story in the Old Testament and our story in the New Testament. Jesus came to free us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Right? Okay? The catechism. And what that includes, then, is the bondage of sickness, slavery, prejudice, and hatred. The things that hold us captive in this life. But why is this possible? Well, through his sacrifice on the cross. By his death, he ransomed the captives. And if you notice on our page today, it's preaching to the captives. By ransoming the captives, he gave them freedom because he served them. Not only are we a slave to God, but he was our servant and was a slave to us. What a great, great example for us. Pastor Tony, you were talking earlier today about Christ's example in our lives. What a great example of how, as a servant, he came to give to us. You know, you can be a captive through no fault of your own, okay? Dean was talking earlier today about the apostles for something else. Well, folks, we have the example in the Bible of idols, okay? When we are looking at idols, we can all have idols that take over our lives. But yet we know that the only idol that's important is God. We can have so many things that we give to. That's that affront to the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Because we can allow things to sort of creep in and take over. But yet, don't we have the freedom, the importance of those kind of things? Question?
Can I say something?
Sure.
I always thought that maybe the bull might have been, you know, they had, I think it was Apis, a bull cult, and we got a bunch of bulls in Egypt that they've actually stuffed them like mummies, they were mummies, and they did it for a long time, and they've got hundreds or maybe thousands of these stuffed, and this Apis bull cult, and then also the Minoans on Crete. Crete had a bull thing.
Yeah, Mithrin religion. You know, someday we'll talk about that a little bit, but that would be getting too far aside right now. But, folks, one of the things that I was really surprised at when I was at the seminary is when we look and study Greek, is Luther in the Bible? No. Is the word Lutheran in the Bible? That is. Luthero, Lutheros, Luther, and it means freedom. You know, folks, whenever we are captives and slaves to Jesus, isn't that when we're the most free? Think about that for a second. You know, the ministry of Jesus, when he comes to us, is such a blessing. You know, when in Luke 4, which is every week we have that same reading in here, he sits down in the synagogue in Nazareth, and they bring him the scroll of Isaiah. And he talks about the coming Messiah. He reads that. What does he say to the people? Today, this has been fulfilled. And so when we look at that fulfillment, when Jesus comes into our lives, we're no longer slaves, but we're free, no matter what our situation is in our lives. Let us pray. Lord, we are so blessed to be with you. And we're so blessed to have you in our lives, to experience the freedom of being Christians, to know that no matter what, you're with us, you love us, and will guide us. What a great blessing this is. In Jesus' name, amen.